Chapter 105, The Adventure Begins. To my disbelief and delight, I'd been awarded a Churchill Fellowship to, quote, further develop my skills and vision by visiting artists working similarly in the United Kingdom and the United States of America, unquote. I left Australia on the 21st of May 2003, looking the part, wearing my one-of-a-kind zipper jacket. London was the first stop on what I knew would be the experience of a lifetime. Here, I was met by my fellowship interview coach, who just happened to be in London at that time. Together, we travelled to the accommodation I'd booked near the University of London's Goldsmiths College, thereby giving me easy access to their textile collection and the Constance Howard Gallery. This would be my base of operations for the 2 weeks I'd be in London. At Goldsmiths, I planned to meet with an Israeli artist I'd contacted ahead of time who was completing a higher degree, as well as a number of former graduates who'd gone on to do interesting things. These artists and others I met along the way were, like me, breaking new ground, and I was excited to be invited to visit their studios. We spent happy hours drinking cups of tea whilst discussing technical aspects of our work and comparing notes on what provides inspiration for our creative process. Almost all the artists I met chose to work with recycled materials, prompted by their concern for the planet, or lack of funds, or both. I was captivated by the work of an artist who was making thematic hooked rugs from pre-loved denim. Another, creating digital banner art, the outgrowth of her work with a pinhole camera. The keeper of the British Museum's coins, medals and dies, who cares for my Wyon relative's considerable numismatic contribution, put me in touch with an artist who was producing hard-hitting installations using medals made of fabric to make statements about contemporary issues. She was the only artist I met who, like me, was touring her own work. While standing on the museum's entrance steps, my zipper jacket caught the eye of an American fine arts professor from Minneapolis, who asked if she could photograph the jacket for her creative garment students. It just so happened that I'd be travelling to Minneapolis to stay with an artist making wall-hung sculptural pieces from onion bags. I mentioned this to discover my host-to-be was none other than her mother. My 14 days in the United Kingdom were action-packed. A sprinkling of exciting meetings, both planned and unplanned, with fellow creatives who were producing cutting-edge art. But now it was time to move on to the United States. The first of 15 stops I'd make during 10 weeks in the United States was the 12th International Surface Design Conference in Kansas City, Missouri. Here, I rubbed shoulders with the who's who of the country's textile practitioners, many exhibiting their work in the numerous gallery spaces scattered around the city. It was a mind-blowing experience, and I was completely overwhelmed. At the conference, I'd arranged to meet a number of the artists I'd be visiting afterwards. This gathering gave us the opportunity to meet face-to-face for the first time. From Kansas City, I travelled by road to Minneapolis to stay with the woman making art from onion bags and selling her work for good prices. Here, I was asked to do a presentation at the Textile Centre, a well-appointed community facility catering for all aspects of fibre art production. This was the second time I'd used my touring exhibition's CD-ROM with a group, and the response was encouraging. My next stop was Philadelphia, where I visited a textile artist producing miniature quilts. She took me to the fabric workshop and museum, where, for the first time, I saw original Andy Warhol prints, and a run to Baltimore to visit the American Visionary Art Museum, exhibiting work by self-taught or outsider artists. Their work was inspirational. Next, a short train trip to New York and then Brooklyn to stay with a textile designer I'd met at the Kansas conference. Together, we went to the Ellis Island Immigration Museum, a very important port of call for me because Australia is also a country of immigrants and from somewhere else is often referenced in my installations. From there, I visited the Rhode Island School of Design's museum in Providence to see the Tirocci collection stored in a state-of-the-art climate-controlled facility. Blue Sky Dreaming prompted my visit as I'd been thinking to create a community textile facility in Toowoomba for some time. Also, visiting RISD was a pilgrimage of sorts because my mother had studied there as a foreign fellow in 1957. Then on to Lake Erie, where I spent time with an artist who makes amazing artworks on the sand in front of her family's summer house using materials blown up onto the shore by the fierce winter storms. I was invited to create an installation. I constructed a spiral by diverting the smooth slate stones that shadowed the shoreline. The unexpected highlight of my Lake Erie stay was being part of the 4th of July parade, dressed as Lady Liberty, clad in a costume made from recycled blue plastic raincoats acquired at Niagara Falls. It was a privilege to spend time with this woman, who is commissioned to make large-scale artworks using recycled materials almost exclusively. Next, I travelled to North Carolina to join a group of textile enthusiasts at the Pendland School of Crafts for a 2-week Designing Art Quilts workshop. This workshop was one of a number the school offered over summer, and the cross-fertilisation that occurred during the time we spent there was very valuable. My next stop was Iowa City, where I visited an artist producing machine and hand-stitched embroideries, making powerful statements on a number of historical and contemporary themes. We share a heartfelt commitment to confront unpleasant aspects of our cultural life by making art about them. In San Francisco, I met with a boogie-woogie piano player who makes small hand-embroidered pieces filled with joy and humour and movement. I also spent time with an innovative textile artist using machine-sewn text in her work. Along the way, I lost count of the number of art museums I was taken to visit. I noticed most had at least one, and often more than one, painting by the iconic artist Georgia O'Keeffe, as well as a dramatic Dale Chihuly blown glass installation. These super famous American artists marketed their work in the conventional way, either represented by a gallery or an agent. In sharp contrast to my marketing strategy. The difference? I choose to work in series and tour my installation work as self-contained solo exhibition packages. And the work is not for sale. In my final report for the Churchill Trust, I listed 8 points. Number one. In 2003, the term narrative visual artist was new. The fellowship adventure reinforced my new identity and enhanced my sense of where my work fits in the lexicon of visual storytelling using fabric and thread. Number two, I discovered artists share a common language that transcends culture. It was a constant delight to enjoy the instant understanding, both thematic and stylistic, that came from interacting with the artists I met on the trip. Number three, only one artist I met was, like me, touring her solo exhibitions independently, thereby retaining full control and ownership of her work. Number four, most of the artists I met have full-time jobs to support their art practice, and many had family responsibilities as well. I now realise how fortunate I am to be a full-time artist. Number five. I was thrilled to find so many artists working passionately and cleverly with unusual materials, including recycled denim, onion bags, shredded banknotes, driftwood, demonstrating an abiding awareness of a finite environment. Number six, the artists I met sell their work through galleries. From them, I gained first-hand knowledge of how galleries operate in the USA. They found my marketing approach novel. Number seven, I learned that many galleries in the USA are often funded by benefactors, giving them greater promotional and purchasing power. Number 8. State-of-the-art textile conservation methods were on show in Providence. What a treat to see a no-expense-spared setup, aspects of which I'd utilise to protect my own touring exhibition work. To conclude, my Churchill Fellowship trip was a life-changing experience. I returned to Australia, my head spinning with possibilities, some realistic and some less so. Whilst I was away, I met other artists as committed to truth-telling as I am. This was a revelation because up until this point, I'd not met others telling stories using textiles, traditional construction techniques, text, extensive historical research, artefacts, material culture, and recycled materials. But the greatest benefit of the trip was for me as a practicing narrative visual artist. The esteem in which this fellowship is held gave me entree into the broader community of narrative visual artists in two countries. An adventure of this kind is beyond contemplation without the generous support of the Churchill Trust. Should you wish to dip into my fellowship adventure in more detail, the full report is available by pressing the Read button.